Hey, Pat's joining me for the last one of the week. He's been filling in for Stu, who had a real terrible, I'm just coming clean with you, run in with a shiv over a hooker. But, you know, he's going to be back on. He's going to be back on. So,
yeah,
Pat,
yeah.
Fine show today.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, we learned everything you need to know about monkeypox and taught some on monkeypox as well.
Yes.
So it's entertainment and enlightenment throughout this entire program. You don't want to miss a second of it. It's our Friday podcast, and here it is, brought to you by Relief Factor. Listen, Stu is in so much pain after being shivved. And, you know, because he had a shiv to the face by, you know, I won't get into it. There was lots of inflammation and maybe a little bit of monkeypox because of the hooker. But anyway, I sent him some Relief Factor, and, you know, he hasn't said, but I will tell you on Monday's podcast, because I'm going to ask him, hey, how's the swelling? How's the pain? And I guarantee he's going to say, what's swelling and pain? He'll have forgotten all about it because of Relief Factor. I'm pretty sure. And you don't have to be shivved in the face to use Relief Factor. It's a drug-free and natural way to get your life back. It's ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hello. Pat.
Glenn.
Good to have you here.
Oh,
filling in for Stu, who is having, I'm going to come clean with you, is having major surgery. Mm. You know, it's plastic surgery, but that is because, and he's never going to talk about this because he's too humble, but the truth is he was in a knife fight with a pimp. Because he was starting to say nasty things about a hooker. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me for any more of the details, because it's not my place to say why Stu was with that hooker in that motel. But he was like, I'm defending her. And he was in a nasty knife fight. And hopefully when he returns, you will not be able to see the scars. So, and we won't talk about it. Okay. So I just thought it was important for you to know.
Out of deference to Stu, you won't talk
about
it.
Yeah. I mean, I really respect, not for the hooker part, but for the
knife fight with the pimp, because that's dangerous business.
Yeah, and he did it because she's a woman. Yeah, she's a hooker, but she's a sex worker. That's all she is.
Mm-hmm.
And who are you to judge?
Exactly.
So, we'll welcome.
I think that's what Stu told the pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a sex worker.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she's been working hard here for her money. I'm guessing that's what was. I don't know. I don't. I've said too much. Anyway, he'll be back on Monday. He loves going on vacation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not what this is, by the way, this time. We must be over the target. Here's a story from the AP, Associated Press. Republicans are coming out swinging against Wall Street's growing efforts to consider factors like long-term environmental risk in investment decisions. The latest indication that the GOP is willing to damage its relationship with big business to score cultural war points. I don't know if you know this, but why would Republicans still be in bed with big business? All of the big businesses hate Republicans. Why would they do that? Many are now targeting a concept known as ESG, which stands for environmental, social, and governance. It's a sustainable investment trend sweeping the financial world. Red state officials deride it as politically correct and woke, and are trying to stop investors who contract with states from adopting it on any level at all. These far right wing activists, who previously brought criticisms of critical race theory, diversity, equity, and exclusion, DEI, and social emotional learning, SEL, to the forefront. It's the latest acronym-based source of outrage to find a home at rallies in conservative media and now in legislatures. Man, holy cow. And they even have, you know, Larry Fink telling the truth. We focus on sustainability, not because we're environmentalists, but because we're capitalists and fiduciaries to our clients. So these taking that fiduciary responsibility and, you know, he's just, well, I mean, he does go on to say, you know, the short term, it may not be the best investment, but we know in the long term it will be. Oh, so that's the kind of fiduciary responsibility you can get. That's great. In more than a dozen red states, officials dispute the idea that energy transition, which is underway, could make fossil fuel related investments riskier in the long term. Right? Is it seeing that the government has mandated that we're going to all drive in magic electric cars? We're still in that world denying that fossil fuel related investments would be risky in the long term.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. That is nuts. In Texas, West Virginia, and Kentucky, lawmakers have passed bills requiring state funds to limit transactions with companies that shun fossil fuels. Wyoming considered banning social credit scores that evaluate businesses using the criteria that differ from, I don't know, traditional accounting and other financial metrics. After conservative talk show host Glenn Beck visited State House and referred to ESG as critical race theory on steroids, that legislature passed a law in March prohibiting investment of state funds in companies that prioritize commitments to ESG over returns. Oh, that's crazy. So we are over the target now, and so is Elon Musk. And it's weird that he is both the target and over the target. You know what I'm saying? This one is from the Financial Times yesterday. The latest ESG version of the S&P 500 index has a notable absentee who took the exclusion with his customary grace. Exxon is rated a top 10 best in the world for the environment, social, and governance. Environment. Exxon is.
Huh.
While Tesla didn't even make the list, Elon Musk said ESG is a scam. It's been weaponized by phony social justice warriors. At face value, it might seem mad not to have Tesla, the world's dominant maker of electric cars, in the environmental, social, and governance-focused version of the world's most influential equity index. I mean, it is, for many, the first ESG-friendly stock they'd been able to name. Well, see, what they don't know is it's not just E. It's also S and G. And, you know, they are not faring well in the S and the G. Apparently, the S&P, when they were looking at the 500, they identified two separate events centered around claims of racial discrimination. They've had two of them in a company that only has tens of thousands of employees. They found two claims that revolved around racial discrimination and poor working conditions at Tesla's factory, as well as they have rejected the unions. And that's not going to go well for you. You know, you have to have a union. Good union jobs. Also, they didn't like the handling of the investigation from the government after multiple deaths and injuries were linked to its autopilot vehicles. Wow. And it's a good thing that GM handled the Volt catching on fire so well.
Yeah.
So well. So we have that now. I think what's really... Maybe I'm really wrong about here is the rape spree that I think Elon Musk is really on. Did you hear it? How could you not? It is so.
I mean, after the egregious behavior that he exhibited, how could you not hear about it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So. Elon, I hate to tell you this, but there's a flight attendant who accused him of sexual misconduct. Now, who are you going to believe? Elon Musk said, that's a lie. And can you provide any evidence to substantiate that, that I exposed myself to you?
And no, they don't have to provide any.
No, we believe
you're already
women.
Convicted.
Yeah. He says, listen to this excuse. The attacks against me should be viewed through political lens. I mean, this is the standard despicable playbook, but nothing will deter me from fighting for a good future and your right to free speech. That's what he tweeted today.
That shows you just who he
is. So Business Insider has a report claiming the flight attendant received a $250,000 settlement from SpaceX over allegations that on a flight in 2016, he exposed his erect and rubbed her leg without permission, and then attempted to bribe the flight attendant into performing a sexual massage in exchange for a horse.
Well, she's apparently into horses and horse riding. So he
really
offered to buy her a horse.
That's
if she'd finish him off.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And here's the thing. Get this. When she walked into the room, now she's about to give him a massage. Anybody who's had a massage, see if this sounds remotely familiar. He was naked, except for a towel over his private area.
Oh, you have got to be kidding
me. Yeah, no, I'm not. He was
naked for a massage?
But for a towel.
Oh, my.
For a massage.
I didn't. Okay. All right. I mean, well, it's weird, too, that this is, I mean, this, you know, happened or didn't happen. He's saying, you know, can you identify anything? Can you talk about scars or any? And I don't want to think about this too deeply, but, you know, can you describe anything? He's like, because you can't. And just go ahead. Just describe, you know, anything that you might have noticed. Anything. I don't know what that means, but and I don't want to think about it. But he's like, you know, because we can prove you a liar right now. Just anything. Anything at all that you might have seen that's different. So, okay. So, and it's weird that this was from 2016 and it's being brought up now. I mean, what could that be? I mean,
yeah, it was a day after he said he wasn't going to vote for Democrats anymore.
Yeah, that's
I'm sure
so
that's pure coincidence.
Weird. A
staggering coincidence.
So weird.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it is. Here's another article you want to talk about being over the target. Some analysts are predicting that the average price of gas in the U.S. will hit $6 this summer because of low inventory and increased demand as Russia's military action in Ukraine continues. But radio talk show host Glenn Beck thinks something else is responsible. ESG, an acronym for environmental, social, and governance standards that companies increasingly embrace, represent the expansion of a company's goals from making money and increasing its value to shareholders to accomplishing social justice goals that benefit stakeholders. Such as being climate friendly and having sustainable practices. Some investors make decisions based on companies' ESG rankings, which is why Tesla's recent removal from the Standard & Poor's ESG index matters. Blah, blah, blah. They go into why he did that. As Musk's tweets indicate, ESG has become a political dividing line, and Beck devoted much of his latest book, The Great Reset. It's all about ESG. To addressing how he believes an overemphasis on the green agenda is contributing to a new world order. And by the way, that's not spooky dude. That's the new spooky dude, Klaus Schwab, who also has that really spooky yes. Yes, we're going to have a new world order. He spoke again on Thursday of the overemphasis on wind and solar energy and corresponding devaluation of fossil fuels that has contributed to the record high gas prices, which is something he was saying in February when it was the prospect of gas at $5 a gallon that was spooking the nation. ESG standards are also hurting states that have the potential to damage the credit ratings of even booming, healthy states that might not have the correct political views. $5 a gallon gasoline is coming all across America. But this is a problem the White House has created by embracing ESG standards, not just an effect of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Huh. That seems like a positive article from a mainstream newspaper. That doesn't happen every day. It must have slipped through another wormhole. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Mr. Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Bill.
Yay. Finally, here I am.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Bill, let's start with the race. I got a lot of things to talk about with you. So I'd like to hear, first of all, the Senate race in Pennsylvania and what we learned on Tuesday.
Voting is free in America. You don't have to pay. You can vote. That's what we learned again. You know, I don't follow the state races that much. I'm not real involved with it until the two candidates are defined, and then I can see who is going to help America the most. So the primaries, I don't pay that much attention to. I've got very serious things on to do, as you do. And, you know, the party stuff, I'm a registered independent. I don't want to mail in me things at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really enlighten you that much.
Okay.
I thought you were going to open with what you always open with. What was the most important story of the week? Remember, Beck? Remember you do that?
I got notes from your office, I thought. Said you want to start there, but go ahead.
You want to know what the most important
story of the week? Yeah, sure.
Okay. And this is going to make you and Stu put your chins up.
Okay.
You both
Stu is out having surgery, and so Pat is here.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. He's okay, though, right?
Yeah, he's fine. He was in a knife fight with a pimp, but it's all right.
You know, I've been through that before.
Yeah, I know, several times, but we usually don't talk about it. But anyway, go ahead. Biggest story of the week, Bill.
So Waters asks the governor of Texas, Abbott, has the president of the United States, Joe Biden, called you about the crisis on the border since he took office? What do you think the answer was?
No.
Now, why is this important? Number one, 3 million foreign nationals are estimated to cross just into Texas this year, this fiscal year. And a president doesn't call the governor of the state that has to deal with that one time. So everybody listening will, he's just incompetent. It's not that. And I keep telling everybody this, and few believe me. I think you do, Beck, but I'm not sure. The president of the United States does not know what he is doing. He is incapable of assimilating, word of the day, information. You can tell him something and he'll look at you and maybe he'll understand what you're saying, but 2 minutes later, he will forget it. So Biden, who has not been to the border, another unbelievable occurrence, because if you add up the human toll of this, plus the narcotics traffic that's killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every year, you add it up. This is a catastrophe.
So, Bill, what are we supposed to do? Because I don't believe the Constitution is a death pack. You know, it's not a suicide pack. This is an invasion, and the government is doing nothing. And the government has the constitutional responsibility for the border, not the states. So that's what's kept the states out of it. But again, are we in a constitutional suicide pact? What should the state do?
Back. You elect the president, he comes into office. Americans have this idealistic view of that. Many times you elect someone who's destructive to the country. All right? I mean, many times, not a few, many. So what happens now? Well, everybody can whine and complain and talk about it, but what happens is this. In November, there is a course correction possible, whereby the American people would say, I recognize what a disaster Joe Biden is, and I'm sorry he's the president. And if I voted for him, I made a mistake. So now I'm going to correct that mistake. And I'm going to give Congress the authority to deal with Biden. That's our system. That's how the founders set it up. So I fully expect that the Republicans will take both houses of Congress. I'll be shocked if that doesn't happen because of inflation primarily and the economy.
Right.
That's the driver of the vote. But second is the border. Now, once the Republicans take over, I can assure you articles of impeachment will be drawn up in January and February 2023 against Biden. On this issue, dereliction of duty. You read the message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com today. Beck, and I know you do every day. It's free. Anybody can read it. This is, he's the commander in chief. This is dereliction of duty. Just like a corporal or a sergeant, if they were in the field with the military unit and they didn't follow orders, that's dereliction of duty. This is dereliction of duty. Does everybody get this? Biden's president, but he's also the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So you can impeach on those grounds. Now, will he be convicted in the Senate? Probably not. But it'll be such a hammer blow to the country. The Trump impeachments were jokes. That everybody knew what that was, a setup by Pelosi on any grounds at all to embarrass Trump. This is much more serious because the numbers are there. The deaths are there. Verifiable. Not a phone call to Zelensky in Ukraine. This is people dying every day because their government will not stop the importation of deadly narcotics from Mexico. That's what this is. And that is why this is the story of the week.
Okay. Let me take you here. You know, you say I'd be surprised if the Democrats, you know, held control. I would be, too. It's just, what is it going to look like as we get there? The pounding of right-wing extremists in the media and how this is the most extreme political party, the right political party ever. They are not only just stirring it up like they have been, but they are now also enacting through fiat, through the agencies, all kinds of things to set up an encounter with extremists and be able to isolate and and label people. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
No, it's desperation, and it's enabled by the media who loves the story, but it's not going to lead anywhere. Look, the next time you hear Biden get out there and say white supremacy is the biggest danger to this country, number one, please read Killing the Killers, because the jihadists are far and away more dangerous than the white supremacists. But here's the question you ask. If that's true, Mr. President, why hasn't the FBI made any cases against white supremacists or organizations thereof? None. Why? If it's that big a threat, if it's everywhere pervasive, you would think the FBI would be perp walking them every day, would you not?
Yeah. I mean, you would at least feel like it did, you know, after September 11th.
Yeah.
You know, where...
This is such a propaganda ploy. And, you know, I'm going to submit to you, most Americans know it. They know it's BS. They know it. And then when the producer, price index comes out, and it's, again, not reported, nobody knows what it is, and says, hey, we're almost over 10%. That's passed on to consumers. That's three more months of rising inflation.
Yeah.
And that butts up to November.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything with inflation yet. People don't understand. It's still ahead of us. What you're feeling right now is in the past. What's coming is much worse.
What? You know what he's going to have to do?
Price controls.
Price control.
Yeah, that's what he's going to try to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, Beck, you're much smarter than you look.
I know. I'm deceiving that way. So, Bill, have you been following the Sussman trial?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. We had Brett Talman on the No Spin News this week. He's a very astute U.S. attorney, former U.S. attorney.
So tell me what you think, and with the latest of juror number five, what happened yesterday?
Okay. So, again, I'm not microing this. I know that the D.C. jury is far left. And
Okay. So this just broke. This happened yesterday afternoon. Juror number five went to the judge and said, you know what? I just found out that my daughter competes with Sussman's daughter on the high school crew team. And I didn't fill that out in my jury questionnaire, but the two girls, they're not close, but you know that I do have connections. And the judge said, "Oh well, I mean, since you brought it up, we know you're going to be fair, so don't worry about it."
You know, again, I think that the evidence will be overwhelming against Sussman, and the more important thing here than a guilty verdict, which I think we'll get, is that Americans now know, if you pay attention, that the Hillary Clinton campaign engineered this. And the villain is Robbie Mook. Remember Robbie Mook?
Refresh my memory on him.
He was the director of the Hillary Clinton campaign, out of it.
Okay.
Against Donald Trump.
All right.
Robbie.
Yeah.
So Robbie is the guy. Now, here's the real interesting part of the Sussman deal. He should have pled out
to
the deal.
Yes.
But he didn't.
Right.
What does that tell you?
That tells you they're arrogant enough and he's loyal enough. What? Go ahead.
Money. Money. Big money. Big money drives a lot of this stuff. So Sussman knows if he gets convicted, he's not going to do a lot of time lying to the FBI. And this is speculation on O'Reilly's part.
Okay.
But it doesn't make any sense in any way for this guy not to have flipped, saved himself, and pleaded down. Somebody's behind him with a lot of coin. He does his 3 or 4 months or whatever he's going to do, and there's a rainbow at the end of it.
Bill, let me talk to you about the price of gasoline over the summer. It was J.P. Morgan that came out and said, we are looking at $6 a gallon gasoline this summer. At what point?
We got that in California already.
I know, but you don't have that as the national average.
$4.55
is the national average now. That is, it's a first time we've ever had that as a national average, anything close to that. But they're forecasting $6 a gallon gasoline, and that would probably put diesel up to $8. How does America survive that?
I don't know, because that's not even the worst of it. Air conditioning your house is the worst of it. Where do you see your air conditioning bill? So you can get a little scooter and cut down on the driving. But if you live where Beck lives, you got to have air 24/7. Where do you see that bill? So what this does is drive working Americans into debt. And you'll see bankruptcies all over the place.
Well, you won't own anything.
Look, if diesel is $8, what do you think the hot dog price is going to be? The burger price is going to be?
I know.
The trucks deliver it.
And do you think people will be clear on...
Yes!
Okay.
In fact, there's nobody I know, and I know thousands of people. No one I know in my life that thinks Joe Biden is doing a good job. And the only public person I've seen is Whoopi Goldberg. She's the only person that I've seen going, yeah, he's pretty good. You know, you go, okay.
Right.
So everybody gets it. Even the zealots get it. But the zealots, they're so infected with this far left progressive ideology, they can't admit it, but they know it.
Do you think that's what's happening with Netflix? They're canceling Ibram X. Kendi, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think it's finally turning?
Yes.
Good.
Look, and you know what the template is there? Disney.
Yeah.
Have you seen Disney's stock price?
I have.
I mean, the American people have turned against Disney.
That's amazing. Never thought I would see that. It was the most trusted brand for generations. Bill O'Reilly, thank you so much. Make sure you get his new book, Killing the Killers. It's available everywhere. It is a great book about our military and how we went and got the bad guys after 9/11.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
The World Economic Forum, the Global Agenda. I love that. The World Economic Forum annual meeting, preliminary program. Now, you know you can't trust them right away because program is spelled with two M's and an E. Mm-hmm. The World Economic Forum annual meeting. Oh, it's going to be so great. On Sunday, the first thing you can do at 1325 o'clock is
1325 o'clock?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Experience the future of cooperation, the global collaboration village. It's
that sounds
I
good.
Mean,
that
yeah, really, it's really going to be good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then Klaus Schwab has the reception, you know, the welcome reception. It's going to be great. He's going to warmly embrace you.
I think Klaus, I always think warmly.
Right.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
He's just a warm guy.
He really is. Or would like some people to be warm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really warm. Experience the future of cooperation. Then you have staying on course for nature action. Mm. With over 50% of the world's total GDP highly or moderately dependent on nature and its services. Economies face increasing risks from inaction in the face of looming tipping points. What global actions should government and business prioritize to accelerate nature-positive progress? I'll give you some of the people on these meetings here in a minute. Then there's the augmented manufacturing experience. Then rebuilding societal trust. Here's what we've got to do. We want a new global order to rebuild societal trust. Is we have these meetings, and we do not let anybody that is normal come into Switzerland and attend these. And I would like to thank everyone for making the guy with the spookiest accent the face of this global movement to rebuild societal trust. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay, so we have that. Then future-proofing health systems. The global context of the pandemic and the mounting migration crisis is testing already stressed health systems with disruption to essential services and care reported in 90% of the countries. How can policies and practices and partnerships be adapted and scaled in health systems globally? Then you have, accelerating the reskilling revolution, which is really the Green New Deal. You know, that's accelerating. And so everybody's going to lose their job and they're going to need to be reskilled. resilient futures, economic weaponry, uses and effectiveness of sanctions. So that's really, that's going to be wow. And the net in net zero. So those are just some of them, but I want to get to the list of the incredible people that are.
Well, everybody's going, right? Because this is a must not miss conference for my money.
For my money,
you
too.
You must not miss this.
You must not miss this. You yes. will be there. So here it is. You know, remember the World Economic Forum, the architects of the Great Reset. You know, the you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. I'm sorry. Let me say it the way I mean to rebuild societal trust. You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Oh, yeah, that's way better.
It's much better.
It's way better.
Much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so these are some of the things that they have. And some of the people, the list of attendees who are showing up, many of them are Americans. For instance, we have the Secretary of Commerce there. She's going to be attending, which mm-hmm. I think is great. John Kerry is a special presidential envoy for the climate.
Always at
He's
these.
There. Bill Keating, congressman from Massachusetts. He's a Democrat. Then you have Daniel Meiser. He's a congressman from Pennsylvania. He's a Republican.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Ted Lieu, congressman from California, Democrat. Madeline Dean, congresswoman, Pennsylvania, Democrat. Ann Wagner, congresswoman from Missouri. She's a Republican. Christopher Coons, senator from Delaware. He's a Democrat. Daryl Issa is going to be there.
Wow.
He's from California. He's a, wow. He's a Republican. Dean Phillips, congressman yeah. from Minnesota. He's a Democrat. Deborah Fisher, she's a senator from Nebraska. She's a Republican. Eric Holcomb, he's the governor of Indiana. He's a Republican. John Hickenlooper, who doesn't love John Hickenlooper?
The guy who took his mom to a porn movie when he was 18 or 20 or whatever it was. Remember that?
And you didn't?
No.
A little later for you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I think I was 22.
Okay, all right. Well, I got to understand that. You're such an extremist. He's the senator from Colorado who is a Democrat. Larry Hogan, mm-hmm. the governor of Maryland, who's a Republican. Michael McCaul, the congressman from Texas. He's a Republican.
Sure is.
Who doesn't love Michael?
Wow.
Pat Toomey. He doesn't have Republican. To answer to the people anymore. Yep, mm-hmm. from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Then you have Patrick Leahy, Robert Menendez. You have Roger Whitaker, the senator from Mississippi, who's a Republican.
Not the singer, Roger Whitaker. Remember
no,
him?
He was great.
Sold more albums in southern Ethiopia than Elvis or the Beatles.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember him?
He was great.
Yeah. He was really awesome.
Seth Moulton, he's congressman from Massachusetts, Democrat. Sheldon Whitehouse, senator from Rhode Island, Democrat. Ted Deutsch, maybe. Maybe it's Deutsch. Congressman from Florida. He's a Democrat. Francis Suarez, mayor of Miami, who is a Republican. And you know what the people in Miami love? Fascism.
Yeah, they do.
Fascism, socialism, communism. They
yeah.
just love that.
Well, they've come to Florida in large part to spread it from Cuba.
Right.
That's what they like to do.
As ambassadors.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, hey, Fidel is so great. You should try it here. Yeah.
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 They love that.
Yeah. It's just the Republicans who have twisted that message.
Bastards.
So that's kind of interesting how mm-hmm. many wonderful Republicans.
Isn't it, though?
Yes. 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 And you know what's weird is I'm told by people in Washington, nobody really knows about ESG or the Great Reset. Huh. That's weird because you're all there.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And they have to know about the World Economic Forum, don't they? I mean, you can't be that naive to think,
this is just going to be about great economics. I'm going to go over there and study.
Come on.
Yeah.
You have to know.
Well,
what's
they're
going on.
Busy on things. Do you know they just passed a bill for $500 million per year mm-hmm. for disease research with DARPA?
Hmm.
Isn't that great?
Because mm-hmm.
who doesn't mm-hmm. want DARPA, you know, the secret?
Involved in disease research?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how to spread it?
Yeah. Well,
how to weaponize it, maybe?
Of course not.
No, no, not that.
They're just looking at diseases. Let's take something that you probably never even heard of, wouldn't would never come here. Monkeypox.
Okay.
And we're just trying to take monkeypox to see if it could ever jump from monkeys into people.
Well, we already know it can.
Oh, actually, we do?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, somehow it got to the human population from monkeys.
Well, at least it's in Africa.
Yeah. Well, and here.
And here.
And here.
And here.
Yeah.
But it's
Canada,
spreading.
In Australia.
Oh, is that why we have bought all that vaccine yesterday?
Yes.
Monkeypox vaccine.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was from, from The Onion or,
Babylon Bee.
No, not the Bee.
No, okay.
The Bee is, that's a right-wing extremist.
Well, that's true.
I mean, they're telling they're not joking in that, you know. So we got that going on for us. And next week, at this same meeting with all of those people, and they, of course, will come back and go, this is a conspiracy, and what are you talking about? The WHO is meeting next week to change our amendments to our relationship, taking the power away from our Senate and House and President, and giving it directly to the WHO in case there is like an outbreak of something, you know. But let's use something that, you know, will never happen. Monkeypox.
Like monkeypox.
Monkeypox.
Yeah.
That'll never.
Except it's already here, but.
Yeah, but it will never. I mean.
It won't spread.
No.
It is actually hard to spread. You don't want to create a panic about monkeypox.
Yeah, but you know what? No, you don't want to create a panic. Except it seems like there's a lot of articles on monkeypox
where
it doesn't say how hard it, I mean, because you really have to, like, you know, make out with the pox hole.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. You have to come in contact with the nasty stuff in the pox.
Yeah. And so you just stay
away.
Or
bodily fluids.
Yeah. Well, I always bathe myself in somebody else's diseased urine. So
really?
Yeah, who
does?
That's
probably not the best idea right
now. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just right now, you might want to suspend that activity.
For the monkey pox,
yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
You know, so it is, it's really interesting how.
I mean, normally that wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But with the monkey pox circulating, you might want to stop.
Yeah. So I wonder if now, normally this wouldn't spread, but there are so many people, because it's in Florida, there's so many people in that extremist Florida that, you know, didn't want to wear their masks that are probably rubbing blankets all over that guy with the monkeypox.
Yeah, yeah, monkeypox blankets.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're going to give them to, like,
American
Georgians.
Indians. Or Georgians.
Yeah, Georgians.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? they'll go to and give them to native New Yorkers. And then
that's not right.
Because that's just DeSantis trying to buy Manhattan for some beats.
That's who he is. That's who he is.
It is.
He's been trying to do that for I don't know how long.
I mean, you know, history repeats itself. I'm telling you, the monkeypox blanket thing. It's happening.
I thought you said history doesn't repeat it, but it rhymes. Isn't that what you believe now?
Yeah.
So,
So what rhymes with monkeypox?
This is interesting on this monkeypox thing. Investigators in Europe say most of the cases there have been in gay or bisexual men. And officials are looking into the possibility that some infections were spread through contact during sex. They haven't previously considered this a sexually transmitted disease.
Well, maybe because for centuries, no one was dumb enough, no matter your sexuality, to say, ooh, you have open sores all over your body. Let's
get together tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I find you even more sexy than usual. Yeah, that's probably, it's a good point.
I itch really bad in these open sores. Could you grind your body against mine?
And they're weepy. Have you noticed that? The sores are weepy right now. So.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people would just say, no. I'm not.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
But I don't know if we have that common sense anymore.
You know,
No. We're like, ooh, you know. This is a white society construct that open weepy sores are icky. And I am not going along. I'm gonna fight the man. Let's take our clothes off and you rub your weepy open sores all over me. It's great. Why am I craving bananas? I just don't.
That is really nasty. Really, really nasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Gates has talked about the possibility of bioterrorists, you know, releasing smallpox.
His thing lately has been, I think he's almost hoping for it. He's talking about smallpox all the time now.
But
all the time.
The fact checkers got in. Smallpox is not monkeypox.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
And monkeypox is harder to get.
Yes, it is.
You know, because of what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so smallpox is different. But aren't we all vaccinated for smallpox when we're little? Or did we just wipe it out in our age group and then?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
When was smallpox eradicated?
Been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Those damn monkeys.
Yeah.
They are the source of everything bad.
They are. I mean, they keep introducing stuff to us. And I don't
know how we're getting it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
It's a very strange situation.
Mm-hmm. So we got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, so you know, the monkeypox vaccine, there's a, you know.
Can you get it at every drugstore now?
Not yet. Not quite yet. But there's a, quote, smattering of monkeypox cases in Britain. And healthcare workers have been exposed and they're going to get the vaccine now.
How many are in a smattering? Do we know?
It's like a flock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it's a flock of monkeypox
cases, but in people, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not in monkeys.
Right.
Monkeys are surprisingly doing.
they're healthier than we are.
They're doing well. They're doing well. Maybe because monkeys, while they eat bugs off of the other monkey fur,
mm-hmm.
They don't generally go, ooh, open weepy sores, let's romp.
No, I don't think they do.
Yeah.
So
it's usually a mild viral illness characterized by symptoms of a fever as well as a distinctive bumpy rash. Now, there's two strains, the Congo strain, which is more severe, and then the West African strain, which is a fatality rate of about 1%. The Congo strain, you know, 10%. You get it. You got 10% chance here.
It's pretty high. That's higher
really
than coronavirus.
High. That's really high.
Wow.
But, you know, coronavirus, you didn't have to
rub sores on other people. That's true. That's very true.
Yes. Yes. So that's a.
So you got that going for you.
You got that going for you. Yeah. Na, 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 na.